Yes, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. And welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, Devin Shombe. And yeah, it's the right time to thank Mattia Sangara with The Twilight. And yeah, this is your economic developmental conversational program that is running from the hour of 6 until 8 in the morning. And yeah, it's the 1st of October 2025. We are left with 1 month before December. And like we're always saying, it's also very important to make sure that you look at where you come from. You look at what are those things that we have achieved in the past 10 months, and also what are those things that we did not achieve, and what do we need to do moving forward. So yeah, when you look at where we are now, when you look at where we are now, particularly as a country, we need to make sure that we must continue deepen the conversation. We must continue elevating the conversation beyond the obvious. We must make sure that whatever we bring on the table, whatever we discuss, at least is contributing positively to the national development. And Early Morning Scoop, as we always indicated at this platform, this is a platform that we discuss issues of economic development, trade, foreign policies, and also issues of food security. We look at policy planning, policy implementation, policy evaluation, and also the impact that, you know, those who are in charge of implementing developmental policies and the impact that those who are in charge of implementing developmental policies have on an ordinary person. Because at the end of the day, when we speak about national priorities, when we speak about regional priorities, at the end of the day, somebody who is at the edge of development, somebody who is at the receiving end, must, you know, improve either as personal, professional, or economically. So let us look at
Get your monthly essential products for just $599 million at USAID. Get 10 kilogram each of Marathon White Sugar, Champion Super Maize Meal, and Bokomo Federal Flour. Also 5 kilos nice rice, as well as 500 grams grande pasta. All 5 products for only $599 million. You save, I save, yes we all save at USAID.
Yes, as we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop, we are indicating to you that we must elevate the conversation. We are indicating to you that the conversation must bring about those thought-provoking questions. The conversation must bring about those innovative ideas, and also to see what is that that need to be done, particularly moving forward. At Early Morning Scoop, we do not just have a one-directed conversation, but we have a conversation that allows you also to participate, because every day we always open the line to make sure that whatever you say, whatever you bring on the table is heard, and also we bring about that interaction, because we understand that for us to build institutions, for us to build governments, for us to build international institutions, we must make sure that we accommodate views, opinions, and also for you to improve, you need critical, constructive, and also constructive criticism that will be able to let you go back and rethink, and also sharpen the ideas that you bring on the table. Because it's through interaction that we'll find better ways when it comes to national development, when it comes to changing of the situation on the ground. Before we go to what we have on the table today, like we are always saying, make sure that you follow Eagle FM Namibia at all our social media platform. You can follow us on Facebook, follow us on X, and also follow us on LinkedIn and also Instagram. Like and share our page so that those who are following you can also be able to be updated. When you update you about international trade, when you update you about global governance, when you update you about, you know, economic insights, investment, and also opportunities. So apart from you following us and like our page at our social media platform, we also have an e-paper that is the Villager newspaper. And the Villager newspaper is an e-paper, it's an economic paper that is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And with the Villager newspaper, you can be able to expand your research capacity. You can be able to get a new sight. That's why we are always indicating to you, whether you are a policymaker, you are a researcher, you are a developmental enthusiast, you are somebody who is, looking at issues of trade, economic development, and also you're somebody who want to be updated, particularly when it's coming to information which matters, when it comes to information which, contribute to where Namibia wants to go. Make sure that the Villager newspaper is part of your sources of information, and make sure that if you are a student and your professor is asking you to get those up-to-date sources, make sure that when you are doing your research in environmental issues, the Villager newspaper must be your fundamental point of departure, particularly when you want to expand your research in the areas of development. And you also be able to trace sources that are referenced there, and you get new and also fresh information so that you can be able to expand and also be the best at the field that you are. Apart from the Villager newspaper, there are those who are asking relevant questions to say, Eagle FM Namibia, where are you? Why are we not connected to you? What is happening with the frequencies at some areas? We are indicating to you that in the world of advancement in terms of technology, in the world of technological advancement, where people are looking at better ways on how to make their work easier, faster, and also efficient, we have Eagle FM app. We have Eagle FM app that you can download, and you'll be able to listen to the programs which are on air. And you can also be able to listen to the previous programs by looking at, the podcast. And the beautiful thing about Eagle FM is that when you download Eagle FM app, you can be able to listen to the programs wherever you are, whether you are in Namibia, you are in SADC, you are in Africa, you are abroad, somewhere in America, China, or wherever you find yourself, because the moment you download it, its operational mechanism is operating exactly like WhatsApp. But the beauty of it is that you can be able to go back and also trace what you have not listened, and also check the programs that you have missed, because sometimes you are busy doing something of equal importance, and the time you come and listen to that program, it's already gone. And you do not need to worry, because they are recorded, and they are also archived for you, so that you can listen at your own time and also at your own pace. The other thing is also that we have Imba app. Imba app is a digital version of a hymn book. When you look at Imba app, in the situation that you find yourself, either you are a churchgoer, you find yourself at an event or at a situation where you have to sing from a hymn book, you need to give respect. Either you are at a graduation, you are at a birthday, you are at a wedding, or life events such as funerals, and you do not have a hard copy hymn book, you do not need to worry, because with Imba app, you will be able to access the hymn book in the local language that you understand. Either it's Oshiwambo, that is your Ehangano, either it's Oshierero, that is your Maimburiro, either it's English, Afrikaans, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So make sure that you download Imba app, and you make your life more easier, and you are no more working with a hammer, but you are working smart, and you save time and energy, because we are always indicating to say, make sure that you use new apps, make sure that you use up-to-date apps, especially when it's coming to issues of information dissemination, especially when it's coming to issues of accessing content, because the world is moving toward technological advancement, and in the next 10 years, is those who are technological advanced, is those who equip themselves with a new development in the space of technology, that are going to make their work easier, that are going to advance, they are going to make sure that when it comes to contribution to national development, when it's coming to making work easy, technology is one of the factors that increasing that momentum. And before we go to what we have on the table, It's also very important to make sure that if you are a business person, either you are a small business operator, you are a medium business operator, you are a multinational corporation, make sure that you invest in advertisement. Make sure that you invest in advertisement and buying airtime on air with Eagle FM Namibia will make your return expand because of the coverage and also the potential customers that you'll be able to reach. So make sure that you communicate to a marketing manager, Monica Ipinge, so that you'll be able to buy airtime on air so that clients, potential investors, and also collaborators will be able to access you because when you communicate with Monica Ipinge and you buy airtime on air, you will be able to reach clients not only in Namibia, not only in SADC regions, but in the whole world, because Eagle FM Namibia is not only listened at home, but also abroad due to the fact that the app can be accessed by anyone wherever they are, as long as they have internet connection. So you can talk to me, Monica Ipinge, at 083-288-400. So we are indicating to you that the money invested in advertisement is money on the way back to the owner with interest. So do that. You can also buy or you can also book your page with the Villager newspaper, because you don't only advertise on air, but you can also buy your page within the Villager newspaper so that you'll be able to reach your clients wherever they are. So for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and we are here until the hour of 8. Let us pay the bills and we look at what do we have, what is happening around, particularly on an international ground, what is happening around in the continent of Africa, what is happening in SADC, and also what is happening in Namibia, and how can we elevate the conversation today. And we are also going to open the line so that you can give your point, you can give your one or two takes on matters being put on the table, and we see how can we move forward. Let us pay the bills.
Lipuranenge no wapubwa eva tere urikoni maondo tuto ingida ashikeka penu mwepo dite opoyue ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho otike kovano hile koshuala konongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna eme toda njuka okupitira oipindi konu honda doi inawa mneuto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumuna oijabweli nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora itatime bali heavy nola natu heavy bali no heavy ineko berewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu oma filane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%. 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, it's 27 minutes past the hour of 6. And we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We are starting with what is happening on international ground. What is happening on an international ground? There are quite, news around. And one of them is that it's quite a very disturbing news, especially when it comes to the areas of international relations and diplomacy. It was stated that South African ambassador to France has been found dead at the foot of Hey Regency Hotel or Hey Regency Hotel, and it was indicated that the 58 years old Nadim Tetwa, who served as an ambassador of South Africa to France, jumped from 22nd floor of the hotel in French capital, and he was reported dead. And it's quite news that we need to look at. When you look at the history of Nadim Tetwa, who was an ambassador of South Africa to France, he's been quite a main actor in South African politics, especially when you look at the government. At one point, he served as a minister of sport and culture. And he also, at one point, a minister of police. And still unclear to say what they have caused the former chief whip also in the South African parliament, especially when it's coming to ANC. Was there quite questions around to say what led to the top diplomat in France, or the head of mission in France, to fall from 22nd floor in the hotel in France. And I also need to look at this news to say what is the reason behind he fell. Was he pushed, or what happened, or is it or there is something beyond that? Because so far investigations are still continue, and it's quite the same news, especially when you look at South African politics. You look at South African politics, and also Sandek too, because losing a diplomat in that nature is quite a rare thing to happen. It's quite a rare thing to happen, because as a diplomat to France, he was head of mission, and he was in charge of making sure that South Africa had diplomatic relations in France, and also extend South African economic relations with the French. But what has happened is still quite new, and there are various reports which are coming through, and also updates, especially when it comes from international news, because losing a diplomat is something that is very big, and also something that require critical assessment, because diplomats were supposed to be safe wherever they are, and diplomats are some of the most protected people, especially when it comes to international law. Either wherever they find themselves, they have privilege. If you look at Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations, you'll be able to understand that the head of mission in any country, even when you have war, they are not supposed to be touched. Their documents were not supposed to be touched, and their safety is number one priority. And it's also was supposed to be not only the responsibility of South Africa, but also the responsibility of France to make sure that those who are sent in their territory, are protected, that is physically, mentally, and all the sectors. So let us look at this news, and also look at what is happening, because there is quite a lot of things which are happening in South Africa, and it's not a matter of connecting the dots. There are also those who are going deep into the conversation to say, why is it happening this time? Why is it happening this time? The diplomat going through a certain challenge mentally, or was there something behind? Also, you need to remember that when you look at South Africa now, you look at the context of South Africa, especially when you look at South African politics, there's quite a lot of events happening, whether it's tariffs, whether it's an ongoing investigation on the security cluster, that is an ongoing investigation on the security cluster, where you have also inside the country have a suspended minister of police. At the same time, you also have a suspended deputy police commissioner. There is an ongoing commission going on, and you are just asking yourself to say, what is happening with South Africa, and what does this mean moving forward? So let us look at this news and see what is happening.
Let's continue then with our breaking news story. French authorities are investigating the death of South Africa's ambassador to France, Nathan Tetra, who was reportedly found dead after falling from the 22nd story of the Hyatt Hotel in Paris. Tetra has served in various capacities in government, including as police minister, between May 2009 and May 2014. Mtetwa was recently in the news when he was named by Lieutenant General Ntlantla Mkhwanazi as having forced a former Inspector General of Intelligence, Faith Khadebe, to withdraw a criminal case against the former head of crime intelligence, Richard Mdluli. The ANC says it is saddened by the news of his passing. The party has also sent condolences to his family. The Department of International Relations is expected to provide further details on the circumstances surrounding his death. Well, in fact, we do have a statement that has been written to this effect from the presidency. President Cyril Ramaphosa mourns the passing of Ambassador Emmanuel Nkosinathi Nathi Mtetwa. President Ramaphosa, it says, is saddened by the passing. South Africa's head of mission in Paris, who has died in tragic circumstances in the French capital at the age of 58. It further says that President Cyril Ramaphosa offers his deepest condolences to Ambassador Mtetwa's wife, Ms. Pilisiwe Buthelezi, as well as the ambassador's extended family. We'll continue to unpack the president's statement there a little bit later on in this particular bulletin as we continue to get reaction. Let's now go to London. That's where we'll find SABC News correspondent Laura Westbrook for more. Laura, very good afternoon to you. So you're in London, of course. What more can you tell us about the circumstances of Ambassador Mtetwa's death, given, of course, the reports that we are hearing from French media?
Yes, there have been reports that the ambassador had been reported missing by his wife on Monday after she reportedly received a worrying text message from him in the evening. According to the prosecutor's office, he had reportedly reserved a room on the 22nd floor of the Hyatt Regency Hotel. And the prosecutor's office said that a secured window had been forced open. Now, an investigation has been opened into what exactly happened and the circumstances around his death. And he was the ambassador since December 2023. And there has been a statement that's also been released by the South African foreign minister, who said that he had no doubt that his passing is not only a national loss, but is also felt by the international diplomatic community. This news really stunning the diplomatic community in Paris as well. They said that the circumstances are now being under investigation by the French authorities, and the statement also said that the ambassador was a distinguished servant of the nation whose career was marked by a dedicated service in critical.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward, especially when you look at what is happening. Especially on an international ground, losing a diplomat at that situation. something which is a loss, not only to South Africa, but also to SADC, because when Tetwa was in France, when the success of South African foreign mission can also be a success of Namibia. That's why we always make sure that in many cases we compare South Africa with Namibia, the relation that South Africa and Namibia has, and also maybe also a question that we need to also ask and also look at what was the main cause of this tragic death, and it's not yet confirmed that what is really the cause of it, but what is known is that the ambassador of South Africa to France fell from the 22nd floor, the hotel, and it was also indicated that he sent his wife a warning message, and issues of international affairs. It's no clear content on what he said, but they are saying the reserved window in the 22nd floor was forced open, and that is what is in for now. So let us look at what is happening again, especially when it comes to international ground, because there's a lot happening, especially when you look at the continent of Africa. It was stated that DRC military court, the military court in Democratic Republic of Congo, yesterday they have charged the former president of DRC, Joseph Kabila, and the military court ruled that the former president of DRC was found guilty of treason, war crimes, conspiracy, and organizing insurrection together with Rwandan-backed M23 rebel groups, and was ordered to pay $29 billion dollars, and also he was also sentenced to death, and it's quite also disturbing news. And what you need to look at this is also that Kabila have been prosecuted in absentia. And his whereabouts is not known. And the court has ordered his immediate arrest. Has ordered the immediate arrest of the former president of Democratic Republic of Congo. And when you look at the military court indicated is that Kabila had collaborated with Rwanda and M23 rebels, seized key cities in eastern Congo in January, and also other cases put against him. Something that need to be looked at, and one may also ask to say, is this revenge politics? Is this revenge politics? Or is it what it is? What will happen to Democratic Republic of Congo? What will happen to Democratic Republic of Congo? And what are some of the events also that led to this, situation? What you need to understand is that you look at the history of the former president of DRC. He's the son of the former president again of DRC, Laurent Kabila, who was assassinated in early 2000, and since then Kabila ruled DRC for many years until the government was taken democratically by Félix Tshisekedi. And since the beginning of this year, they have been ongoing trials, not only with senior military generals in the army of DRC, but also some politicians, especially regarding the issues of M23. And it's quite important to look at this news and also to see what is the future looking like. What is the future looking like, and how is this? We are also waiting to see how institutions such as African Union are going to respond to this. How are the institutions such as SADC also going to into this? And also the question that you need to ask yourself is that was it also a fair trial when you are prosecuting a former president in absentia, and was he given opportunity also to defend his case? Or is it a political revenge? And what is this saying about African authorities and also institutions of democracy? Let us look at this news moving forward.
In this military court in Democratic Republic of Congo has just sentenced former President Joseph Kabila to death. Kabila was tried in absentia for treason, accused of supporting the M23 rebel group in the east of the country. Kabila is convicted of war crimes for decisions he made during military conflicts while he was in office. He is currently believed to be in the M23-controlled city of Goma. We're going to go to Alan Wakane. He's joining us from Goma in eastern DRC. Alan, just bring us up to speed with what's been happening.
Well, as many people were expecting here in the country, the military court ruling finally has sentenced Joseph Kabila to death. They are mainly insisting on the fact that it was proven by the court that Joseph Kabila is the boss or the direct responsible of the current movement here, the M23 rebels controlling this town of Goma and also Bukavu, and still continuing with different fighting in different areas, trying to capture more area. The court also is coming on the fact that many people were killed here, destruction of the public equipment, and also the control of the public building, for example. All this for them, they say that it has been proven that Joseph Kabila is the one coordinating Colonel Nanga, Bertrand Bisimwa, and all other different people in this rebellion here. But the big question remains from different side. Now we are even trying to see the reaction from the population. They were expecting to see the court giving the real proof, showing how, for example, Joseph Kabila has been financing this movement. Nothing like this was proven, not even in the bank system, or even how he is supporting. The only fact the court is really trying to assist on is the fact that Joseph Kabila decided to come back here in Goma, the area under the control of the M23. But this is known by the population here that it was because Kabila has been under the threat due to a political situation between him and Felix Tshisekedi. Then he was already in exile, then decided to come back here and also threatening to react against what he was considering already as a big political crisis created by the president Felix Tshisekedi. And then people do believe in that it's only the fact that Kabila is here, but no one for now in this area, for example, or across the country, is able to prove whether Joseph Kabila is a real commander, as the court has been saying, and as they have decided right now here. And
that is what happening. That is what is happening in DRC. And for the records, Joseph Kabila have been president of DRC from 2001 until 2019. And when he took over the country, was very young. I don't think he was not even 30 years. Was a very young military officer in the army of DRC. And when his father was assassinated in the early 2000, he was to take. He was given that authority to lead one of the most or the richest country in the world in terms of natural resources, although it's a poor country in terms of human development and also development in general. And DRC, they are stating that DRC's economy especially regarding the underground wealth. It's estimated to be equivalent to the economy of United States of America. And when you look at DRC, DRC have been one of the most divided country, especially where you have a group of rebels, not only the M23, you have more than 20 groups of rebels in DRC, and the government does not have control of all the whole part of DRC. There's those with big guns that are controlling various territories, especially looking at the fact that natural resources is at the center, of DRC conflict. What you also need to understand is that when you look at DRC, there is nothing that is not there. When you talk about diamonds, talk about cobalt, you talk about oil, talk about coltan, and many other natural resources underground or beneath DRC. And it's also a question of looking at international laws. What are international laws? What are they saying about the protection of former presidents? And also need to understand that when somebody, in most cases, when somebody was the head of state, there is privilege and also immunity that that person has. But you need to look at this also, that the fact that in the middle of this year, Joseph Kabila was stripped of his immunity, especially, and also former presidential benefits, so that you know, he may look like an ordinary person, because you cannot prosecute somebody who has protection by the law. That's why the authority of DRC have stripped him of his privilege from prosecution. That's why now when they sentence him to death, he's on that line. And it's also a matter of asking to say, why Africans, we are busy fighting each other if there is a real fight that we still need to win, especially when it's coming to the battle of economic and human development? Why are we busy fighting each other when there are bigger battles? When you look at, it's not only happening in DRC. When you look at the relationships of former head of states, you look at the relationship of former head of states in SADC, it's also a bit worrying. It's also a bit worrying. And it's also a bit worrying. Look at what have happened. What have happened in Zambia. What happened in Zambia, especially when you look at the former president, who was stripped of his privilege, and you also compare with other countries, is to also ask to say, what system, what is the benefit of the system that we are using, and how we can improve the democratic system with African characteristics? Because somebody was calling an indicator to say the system that we are given is not working for us. System that we are given is not working for us. It's only the system that is make us to continue being controlled, and also not achieving what we intend. We still yet to see what the SADC has to respond like this. How is SADC going to respond at this news? How is the AU going to respond? And also how the international institution has to respond, especially looking at this case. It's a new case, especially depending in the 21st century. It's a new case in post-colonial Africa, sentencing former president to death in the country that he led. And also to ask questions to say, why only the former president, if there are also those who are in charge of M23? Why is only the former president? Why not M23 leaders? And what is the content of the case? Is a case strong enough to bring that conclusion? And also how military courts are operating? Those are the questions that also need to look at, and also see what will happen moving forward. Yes, we are moving forward with early morning scoop. We are moving forward with early morning scoop, and it's also quite important to look at issues of Palestine, issues of Palestine, especially when stated that Hamas is also considered you know, peace resolution. Hamas is also considered peace resolution, as you know, the world has been pressuring Israel and also the Western world to end the war in Gaza. To end the war in Gaza. And when you look at what was happening, especially in the United Nations General Assembly, you will be able to see that different, not only African leaders but world leaders, have been pressuring and has also been making their case very clear to say genocide in Gaza must end. And you must be able also to realize that currently, as we are speaking, it's more than 60,000 people who died since October 2023. Those are more than 60,000 people died in Gaza. And also need to be able to realize that the president of America, Donald Trump, have been trying to negotiate also with Benjamin Netanyahu, who is the prime minister of Israel, and who have been at the center of this case. It was stated that looking at Trump proposal, Hamas may accept this peace deal. And also, let us check this news. Let us look at this news and also see what will happen. And what you also need to understand is also that although conflict have been happening, Hamas still have the leadership. The leadership is still there. And they have been also negotiating from different areas. They have been negotiating, especially with Israel, to see how this war should end. What you also need to understand is that when there is a war, people who are fighting, they also meet. They also meet, especially those who are in charge, to discuss about the future, because the proposal on the table is to make Palestine a recognized state, and also to protect the sovereignty of Palestine, while Israel have been against that. But let us look at this news, especially from the side of Israel and Palestine.
All operations in the enclave and with U.S. President Donald Trump says Israel has agreed to Washington's peace plan aimed at ending the war in Gaza.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the proposal achieves Israel's war aims of providing a realistic path forward for Gaza. So what is in that 20-point plan?
Okay, so if Hamas accepts, it would mark an immediate end to the war. Humanitarian aid would immediately enter Gaza. Israeli forces would halt all operations in the enclave and withdraw to an agreed-upon line to facilitate a hostage-prisoner exchange.
Hamas must release all hostages, dead or alive, within 72 hours. In exchange, Israel will free more than 200 prisoners and 1,700 Palestinians who were detained after the October 7th attack.
Now, once Hamas frees the hostages, militants who commit to peace will be granted full amnesty and safe passage to receiving countries.
Hamas will not be involved in governing the enclave. A technocratic, apolitical Palestinian committee would temporarily lead Gaza, and it would be supervised by a so-called Board of Peace led by President Trump.
The committee will oversee the funding and redevelopment of the Strip. The White House's international groups have put forward investment proposals to rebuild the enclave. What's left, according to the US and Israel, is Hamas's agreement.
Mediators from Qatar and Egypt have reportedly shared the plan with Hamas negotiators, who said they will review the plan, quote, in good faith. But
to extend that news, so need to make sure that we have access to the plan that is proposed, plan that is put on the table, especially to end war in Gaza, or to end the mass killing in Gaza. Plan has been put on the table to say there will be an appointed temporary panel which is going to lead Palestine, especially in Gaza Strip. And it also indicated that Hamas is still reviewing the plan. Because what you need to understand is that even if there is a deadly war, the aspect of negotiation is still there, because after exhausting each other in the battle, still need to come on the table, and see how you are going to negotiate, moving forward. Will Hamas going to accept this plan, or is going to be a no? Also maybe to look also into the plan. Is the plan also speaking about, the independence of Palestine, or what is the main content of the plan, and what is also the proposal? Because you are not only given a proposal, Hamas also have their demand. Why are they fighting? Are they fighting for the right cause? Where should they meet each other halfway? Because at the end of the day, in the areas of diplomacy, it's a give and take. Israel also has to give up some of his ambitions, especially looking at the future of Gaza and also the people of Palestine. So, the time is 58 minutes past the hour of 6, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and we are going to look at commercial break, then we can move forward for what we have on the table. However, you can still engage us in the studio, especially looking at what is happening around at 083-288-401-083-288-401. So you can engage us in the studio and give your take on what is happening, and also what is your opinion. Either is the case of an ambassador of, or the former ambassador now of South Africa, who fell from the 22nd floor in France. Either is the death sentence of the former president of DRC, Joseph Kabila, or is looking at the proposed plan or the peace deal that is drafted and is also under review. Because Hamas said the peace plan is being reviewed, and looking forward what will be the outcome. And we cannot wait also to see what is the response of Hamas regarding what is put on the table.
Lipurani njeni wapungwa Eva Tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida Ashike kapeno mweko dite okoye ekukulile Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo Iho otike kovano hile koshuwana Kono ngeshefa ya pungwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka Okupitira oipindi konu honda doi inawa Minuto otukwetira o special ange Tashake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka Otoni ushe ingite nawa Lokumuna oijaweri nawa Ninge Father Fanola, Monica, Co, Eagle FM, Honora is that you may body here, B, Nola Natu, Hairy Body, no hair, Ineco, Berewa, Murahetatu Natu, Body or Hetatu Hatatu, Oma Lane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who knows does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the Aha.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the Aha. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who knows does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the Aha.
Yes, we are moving forward with early morning scoop. 3 minutes past the hour of 7. And we are looking at issues of national development. Before we go to what we have on the table today, it's also very important to look at the Villager newspaper is out. The Villager newspaper is out. And it's quite very important to make sure that you scan through and also expand your economic intelligence, expand your economic insight, and also see what can you get from the Villager newspaper, either is in terms of the content, in terms of advertisement, in terms of education, or in terms of what service can you also get, that is in terms of the app. But when you look at the front page of the Villager newspaper, you'll be able also to see that the main conversation is small and medium enterprises drowning in compliance burden. And when you look at smaller businesses and also what they require to comply with, especially at the initial stage, and also things that they need to come up with for them to be fully functional, you'll be able also to see what is the meaning of SMEs drowning in compliance burden, and you'll be able also to get a full version of the content of that article when you open the Villager newspaper, because there is a competition assessment report which is done, and also looking at 10 laws enhancing compliance burden in Namibian economy, and also to look at what are these compliance requirements which are making it very difficult for SMEs to operate effectively in Namibia, and also have so look at the area of sport. So look at the area of sport, especially those who enjoy competition, especially cycling. You'll be able also to see that there is an article on sport, especially looking at 2025 UCI Road World Championship. And for those of you who are sport enthusiasts, it's quite important also to make sure that you have access to the Villager newspaper. Then you'll be able to get the content of this this article. Moving forward, you'll be able also to see application, especially with Velvicia University. For those of you who want to be lawyers, so you want to be magistrate, want to be advocates, you want to be legal researchers, you want to be judges, you want to be legal analysts, you want to be corporate lawyers, you may be able to look at the Villager newspaper, then you'll be able also to see what are some of the courses which are offered by Villager University, especially within the Faculty of Law, Commerce, and also Education. There's a diploma in legal studies there. There's a LLB. There is a Bachelor of Science in Project Management, Supply Chain, Education, and also other courses. Make sure that you access the Villager newspaper so that you'll be able to get to this content. And yeah, looking at agriculture, you also need to make sure that which crops are closed for importation in October. You need to have that statistics if you are in farming, if you are the business of farming, if you are the business of crop productions. You must be able to understand that to say in October, what is the content or what is Namibia Agronomic Board is saying regarding importation of crops. What are those which are needed in the country? What are those which are already available? And this will also assist you on making your prediction and also making your planning very well. If you have this economic insight, it's quite a very important article to read, especially to those who are in farming with crops. And yeah, there are development happening, and as we are always indicating to say, we give you content on developmental affairs, not only criticizing, not only poking questions, but also to look at what are those things which are also done well. Because when you read inside the Villager newspaper, you'll be able also to see Kurenkuru Nepara road, which is open, and also look at road authority looking at the second phase of completion. Look at those development and also record to see what are those things which are happening correctly, what are those things which are done well, and also what are those things which need additional or which need to be looked at, which need to be looked at when moving forward. When you want to understand about what is happening in Etosha, you want to understand what is happening in Etosha, you'll be able also to look at the Villager newspaper. Look at the Villager newspaper. What are the records saying? What are the records saying? And also, what is the Ministry of Environment, Forestry, and Tourism saying regarding the fire in Etosha? And you may be able to get the full version of that article, especially when you read the Villager newspaper. And you'll be able to get that content very well, because it's a matter of asking questions. And it's also going to be our point of departure as today's conversation, especially looking at how do we handle our national resources and who should be held accountable, especially to the issues which are happening. Not only to look at natural disasters, but also to look at what are those plans that are on the table even before such incidents happen, because there is always an aspect of risk management, and there is always an aspect of disaster risk management. How many resources are there? How many personnel are trained? And how do we coordinate also our response team, especially when it comes to incidents of this nature? And yeah, so an article about know your IUM alumni civil servants. Know your IUM alumni civil servants. And with Stephanus Pombiri. And here is where you will be able to say when it comes to those who studied at IUM, where are they? Know the civil servants, where are they? How are they serving government? And what is their role in the public sector? What is their role in the public sector? There is an issue of Namibia economic defense mode. It's an issue of Namibia economic defense mode. That is It's an article that you need to look at. It's an article that you need to look at where I have tried also to unpack where we are in 2025, what is the mode of operation, and what is the meaning of economic defense mode, and also what are those things that need to be done, because looking at this article, I look at what are some of those incidents which have been happening, particularly in the Namibian economy, from the financial system. Look at the ambitions, look at the statistics, look at Namibia statistics. You also look at also the aspect on how are we responding to this to these challenges that we are facing, and also what are the statistics also saying about international investment, and also we also touch on the aspect of what are those things that we need to do, especially in terms of implementing what we already have on the table, especially looking at the NDP-6, and also looking forward, because we have been indicating to you, that no matter what's happening around the world, that should not be an excuse to say that is why we are not moving forward. It must be one of the setback, but not the complete setback, because there are things that we can control, and also there are things also that we cannot control. So need to make sure that you look at that content and be able also to get the one or two, and yeah, let us look at commercial break, then we come straight with the conversation of economic accountability. How do we hold those who are in charge accountable, and also what do we do about natural resource management? We are not only going to talk about Etosha, we are also going to look what is happening and what has been happening, either is in terms of marine resource, that is in terms of the aspect of mining or mineral resources, that is the aspect of wildlife, and also to look at what are some of the measures that we have on the table, especially when it comes to the management of our natural resources, and also how we can protect them. What are the laws that are protecting natural resources effective? Those who are found not complying with the frameworks or the legal framework which is protecting natural resources being dealt with, and also to expand what is the content, what is the content of natural resource management in Namibia, and also what is the impact of mismanagement of natural resources in Namibia, especially when it comes to development of the country and the whole economy at large.
Lipura nenge nyo wapo mwa Eva Tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida Ashike kapeno mwe kutite opo yue ekukulile Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo Iho etike kovano hile koshuwana Kono ngeshe faa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka Okupitira oipindi konu kwa ndado inawa Minuto otukwetira o special Ngeta shake ngeshe faa omarudi tayo loka Oponi ushe ingite nawa Nukumuna oijabweli nawa Ninge Father Fanon, Monica, Co, Eagle FM, Conora is a female, Bali Hiri, Nola Natu, Hiri Bali no Hiri, Ileko, Berewa, Brahetatu Natu, Bali O Hetatu Batatu, Oma Lane, Eagle FM, the
Eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually
to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
It's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
It's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the views and opinions expressed by our guests and
yes, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. It's 17 minutes past the hour of 7. And you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We are here until the hour of 8. And moving forward, as I indicated today, we'll be speaking about the issues of economic accountability. And we are also going to ask questions to say, how do we hold those who are in charge of management of our natural resources accountable, and also what are the measures that we have in place to make sure that national natural resources are protected, especially looking at issues of what have been happening. Looking back at 2019, you will be able also to understand what have happened in not only in the Namibian politics but in the Namibian legal framework, especially regarding the aspect of mismanagement of Namibia marine resources, the misuse of Marine Resource Act, and also the issues which is currently known as fish rot scandal. You will be able to understand that those who were in charge of making sure that they are handling natural resources of Namibia, they use the law to make sure that when it comes to what is known as government objectives, it end up becoming personal objectives. That's why you end up having former ministers of the fisheries, also minister of justice, behind bars. And it's also something that also led us also to ask questions to say, looking at the amount of money which have been lost, what is that that could have been? What is that that could have been done in order to make sure that those resources are protected, and the issues of what is end up known as government objectives is handled correctly? And when you look at the law now, is that act amended to make sure that what have happened is not going to happen anymore moving forward? And when you also trace back, not long ago, you also be able to see the aspect of Namdia. So able to see the aspect of Namdia when you look at the amount of diamonds which have been lost from the institution which was supposed to protect them and also manage resources, especially when it's come to the trading of diamond. on behalf of the government. The question we're asking ourselves is that when it comes to accountability in the economic affairs, when it's come to accountability, what are those things that can be done to make sure that a situation like that should not happen again? Or are those who, you know, were found not complying with the law handled as based on the law, or we are still busy investigating? Because remember, what you also need to look at is that in the current economic stand that we are, yes, we have been indicating that we cannot afford to continue losing money by any other means, because in the context where we are, we need immediate response, especially to the issues which are affecting either the young people or the Namibian population in general. And what I'm indicating to you is that when you look at the area of the financial stability, when you are ranked, when you are grey listed, it doesn't only have to do with the finance itself. It also has to do with the law. How are your laws in handling of the aspect of either money laundering, the aspect of prosecuting, and also the aspect of making sure that you know, you protect and you earn the confidence of investors? Because as I indicated, we only have until May, Namibia only have until May to prove itself that it has complied with the Financial Action Task Force. What will happen after that? It's not a matter of punishment. It's also a matter of losing investors' confidence when you are also not able to deal with those who committed crime, those who participated in money laundering, and also you also need to prove yourself that you have capacity to trace what is yours, and you also have capacity to protect your national resources. By looking at, for example, at the Namdia, you can also look at the industry of oil and gas. Industry of oil and gas, what have been happening, and not to touch on the case of NAMCO. What you need to also ask yourself is that what is the content of legal framework, especially when it has to do with management of, for example, oil and gas, because we are in the process of establishing, you know, entities. We are in the process of extracting, in the process of, because oil is already found, but it's how to take that oil from the ground. And there is still no clear legal framework, especially when it comes to these new industries. Because remember, if you don't have a clear legal framework, how are you going to hold people accountable? How are you going to negotiate your interest if you don't have a clear legal framework of dealing with your natural resources? Because if it's not, we'll end up like Niger. We'll end up like Niger, which is taken to court by an international company due to the fact that it has implemented its internal laws of ceasing operations regarding, you know, mining of raw uranium and sending it in a raw form. So the question that we are asking today, is the level of accountability that we have in the country, and also the strength of our institution. One will also be able to ask to say, when you look at Auditor's General reports in the past 5 years, when you look at reports by institutions, when you look at recommendations, when you look at what is being done, how much money is not used correctly, and what happened after, then the question that you are asking yourself is that is this institution need more capacity to move beyond just stating, here you did not do well, here you misused this 120 million, or here you you misuse this $2 million, you use this money unauthorized, then we keep quiet. What will happen after pronunciation? Because when somebody is saying the report by Auditors General is has to be a report which has content, and when somebody is found not using money correctly, what happened to that? Are we just going to keep quiet? And how can these loopholes being filled? Because remember, and also how do we do what we say, especially regarding the law that we put there and also the action that we put there. There was when you look at what happened regarding Penga Act, you look at what happened regarding Penga Act, it was indicated not 2 months ago that the government froze the appointment of board of directors at SOEs while they are busy reviewing this Public Enterprise Governance Act. But not only 3 months, not even 2 months, we are already seeing not what is being stated. Not what is being stated, because if you look at what has happened, especially in the appointment of recent, board of directors, and you're asking yourself to say, why are we saying something and we do the other thing the other way? And how should we become so consistent? Because when you say that is not going to be done until a certain point, then it's easier. It's easier when you comply with that. And I don't want to talk about the issue of what is being stated regarding saving of money when it comes to helping of state funerals. But many days ago, we completely do the other way. But it's also a matter of saying, who should be held accountable? How should we hold ourselves accountable? How should we become consistent with the law? And also, how should what we say, what we do, are in line with protection of national resources? So let us look at commercial break, then move forward.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So. Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
Hello Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag Your Data Matters.
You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
Eye. Ipura nenge lo wapo wa Eva Tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida Ashike kapeno meko dite okoewe ekukulile Oshasa fana nongeshe faili nehola mo Ivo otike kovano vile koshuwa Kono ngeshe faa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano ukupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka ukupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa minuto otukupitira o special ange tashake ingeje pa omarudi kayo loka otuni ushendi finawa nukumuna oijabwiri nawa ninge fada fanoa na monika ko Eagle FM onmura zatimwe bali hea hii nola natu hea li bali no hea ile ko derewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu hatatu oma filane Eagle FM
Yes, we are moving forward. It's 31 minutes past the hour of 7. We have around 29 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. You can still communicate with us. You can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401. Yeah, looking at the aspect of economic accountability, one, if you want to expand your perspective regarding accountability in Africa, you need to look at this two statistical report. This report by African Barometer Survey of 2025, and also there is an African report on governance of natural resources in 2025. And looking at the key findings, especially when you look at citizenship engagement, look at social accountabilities, then you look at natural resource management, what at the center of that is a strengthening of institutions which are running critical state resources, such as marine wildlife and also the mining sector. And in this case, it's also a question that we need to ask to say, why a situation like what is happening in Etosha will happen? Because when you look at Etosha, it's not only a national heritage. Etosha has a very critical role to play in the Namibian history, and has a role to play in the Namibian economy. But if what has happened continue to happen, we understand that the report from the Ministry of Environment indicated that the fire started at different places within Etosha. It's not only one fire, but the question that we are asking ourselves is that in terms of natural resource management and also in terms of risk management, where are we? How are we positioned in terms of responding to disasters? How are we responding? How long does it take Namibia to respond to disasters? Because I have already stated COVID-19 have tested us to see how can we get organized? How can we respond? Do we have enough? Do we have enough resources to protect ourselves? Because either it's wildfire, it's drought, it's famine, it's war, it's any other disaster. At one point we were Namibian farmers, especially the northern side of Namibia, they were, you know, suffering due to this Oshipahu, which came in and destroying crops. And the question, how did we respond to that? How long did it take? It took us as a country. How long did it take a Ministry of Agriculture together with other stakeholders to respond to that? How many farmers were affected? And in that regard, what is the timeline between receiving a news that the country is going through a situation and the time of response? Are we still going to sit and have different committee, subcommittee, or do you have already a standby team to say, if situation like this happen, this is money on the table, these are the resources, this is how you respond. If you need another addition of resources, this is how we can respond. But it took almost 5 days to contain fire in Etosha. And when you look at the impact of veld fire, within 30 minutes, the coverage that the veld fire will cover, and the destruction that will happen. Because now when you go to Etosha, animals are traumatized. When you go to Etosha, animals are traumatized. We still do not have a clear statistics on how many wild animals died, how many were injured, and also the coverage of a total area which is destroyed by fire. But you may be able to get the snapshot and also be able to get the picture when you read the Villager newspaper of today. There's an article on wildfire in Etosha. Then you can be able to expand that moving forward. And yeah, the other aspect of accountability, not only in terms of the environment and also wildlife, the other aspect of accountability when it's coming to the management of national resources, one of the key findings which was pointed by both African Afrobarometer and also by African Peer Review Mechanism is weak institution. The aspect of weak institution, it was stated that many African nations still face significant challenges due to weak institutions that undermine efforts to ensure accountability. That is some of the things that we have looked at, because for you to have an accountable nation, you need to have institutions which are capable, able, and also be able to deal with issues of accountability. Not only in terms of arresting those who committed crime, but also in terms of testing the system. Testing the system and make sure that the system is strong enough to that extent that disruption will not happen. Looking at our financial institutions, looking at our financial sector, the question that we're asking ourselves is that how strong are those institutions which are making sure that the financial system is strong, not only for the sake of stating that it's strong, because every time we go to events, either it's a BON event, either it's an Amfisa, either it's the aspect of banking sector, and then you also have the aspect of non-banking sector. One of the statements which is already standing out is that I have never had a situation where an official is stating that Namibia financial system is a bit weak. There's always this statement to say Namibia financial system is strong, is sound, and can withstand any pressure. Now, for a layman, when you are listening to that statement, you may think we are doing very well. But when you are looking at numbers, when you are looking at the growth of the economy, the growth of the real GDP growth, when you compare it to where we come from, like I have always indicated, what was predicted by BON in early this year is not what have happened in the middle of the year, because economic outlook, the global economic outlook, gave us a different perspective than when it's coming to domestic economic outlook, it also gave us a different perspective. And the BON also has to state that the economy will only take a boost in 2026. Now, tracing back again, it's not a matter of stating that what is stated is not going to happen. It's looking back, because the problem that we have, or maybe the challenge that we need to work on in Namibia, is the aspect of I make a statement based on data, based on prediction, than what happened after that prediction. Not even something closer to what I predicted happened. And nobody can come to me and say, David, in 2017, you gave us this prediction. Then it's not only, not even 30% of what you predicted have happened. But I'll continue to do prediction for you. I continue to do assessment for you. Then I can, then there is something that need to be done to say, what is that we need to do so that we can prepare better? What is that we need to do so that we can prepare better? And how should we hold ourselves also accountable to what we predict and also what we say? Yes, I can campaign to become a counselor. Then I tell you, I will bring you everything that you need. I'll send your kids to school and I'll build roads here and there. But after 5 years, nobody really come and ask to say, can we go to those retired politicians, not to prosecute them, but also just to ask to say, in the past 10 years, you have been a counselor of this constituency. This is what you have stated. This is what have happened. This is the impact on people. What do you think is the problem here? And how can others not repeat the same mistake of what you have done? Because we don't hold our institution accountable, and we also do not indicate to those who are in charge of leading us to say, you stated this is what you are doing. When are we going to reach where you said we are going to reach? Because if we have that, if we have to go and analyze institution to say, you stated that you are halting the appointment of a board of directors, why are you appointing now? What is new? What is the relevance of that communication? Or there is a special case within that appointment? Or is the PEGA Act already done with, are you guys already done with the review of PEGA Act? Or that was just another statement? If we do not hold those who are lead, who said they are going to do something to us and they did not do it, it's just a matter of asking and also a matter of holding accountable. Because when any politician, any political party who got power, either it's local authority, either it's at the National Assembly, either it's at the governance, at the highest, governance structure, is the responsibility of a citizen to make sure that we ask and also take people back to their statements. Because you'll be so surprised. You'll be so surprised if you can track, you can take an institution, you can take a ministry, then you look at the plan, you look at the communication from those who are in charge, you look at their speeches, just trace back for the past, trace two projects for the past 5 years. This is what the ministry stated it was going to build. This is what the progress that was done. This is the timeline that this project is still standing. No communication was done. And how should we go back and also ask questions to say, why are you progressing with another project if you have incomplete projects that you have? When you look at the report of Central Procurement Board, when you look at...
When life gifts you a washing machine that just quit, take control with Express Credit. Borrow up to $32,000. Same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or SMS gift to 32274.
Get social.
Yes, we have 15 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. It's 45 minutes past the hour of 7. You are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And today we are speaking about accountability. What are the reports saying about accountability? And also, what are the challenges of accountability in Namibia? And what can we do better to make sure that when it comes to management of natural resources, when it comes to doing what we say, we are at the same standard? And also, when it comes to implementing what we have planned, we are doing what we have stated that we are going to do. Because if that of which we said we are going to do and we don't do what we said, it will not only impact the country negatively, it also rank us down, especially in comparison with what other countries are doing. Because being stated as a country with a very good plan and little to no implementation is not a good record. It's not a good record. I was speaking to Kanjengo yesterday at Early Morning Scoop, and he made some very strong points, especially when it's coming to the sector of energy, when it's coming to the sector of mining. He made a very strong point, and he indicated to say, we are still making strong pronunciation. We are still making strong pronunciation, and we are still not yet there when it comes to establishing of institutions. Especially when you speak about value addition, when you speak about mineral beneficiation, we are still at the talking stage. And how long is it going to take us to move? How long is it going to take us to produce our own food? And what did the Ministry of Agriculture say in the past 15 years about food security in Namibia? What did the government say about food security for in the past 15 years? What are the measures in place? And also, what have been done so far? And what is a differentiating factor of, and it's something which I've been asking to say, what is a differentiation factor between the previous administration and also the current administration? And how can we assist in implementing those national plans? Because at the end of the day, we must be very clear to say the development of Namibia, although it's not everybody's responsibility, although it's not only some one person's responsibility, it's everybody's responsibility. And it's a matter of how institutions and those with capacity and ability collaborate with each other. And yeah, the other aspect that was stated as a challenge, especially when it's coming to accountability, apart from weak institutions, there is an aspect of elite capture. Some areas and studies highlighted continued presence of elite capture, which can distort accountability mechanism. It's an aspect of elite capture, which can, you know, distort accountability mechanism. And what is elite capture? What is elite capture? And if you want to understand what is elite capture, there are always in many African countries you'll find few people with power and also influence, especially when it's coming to the management of state resources. You can find a very powerful investor or a very powerful business person who is closer to power, and it's very difficult also to hold those individuals also or to hold the state accountable, actually. Because when you look at what happened, for example, in South Africa, when you look at what is continue happening in South Africa, is a state of you know, one will be able to say it's infiltration of law enforcement authorities by gangs, criminals. Let us look at the caller. Hello?
David.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Is your app working now?
Yeah?
Is your app working?
Yeah, no, it works.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just deleted that one and then restored the other one.
I understand you are technologically advanced.
Ah, you know, my brother.
Yeah.
This digitally, technologically devices.
Yeah.
We are becoming accustomed to it.
And
people are always creating fear in us that, no, artificial intelligence, what to us? Like something so new that no one can learn about it.
Yeah.
But now we found ourselves in these things where people are doing this online study.
Yeah.
And it's now becoming popular.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, you remember about the corona when it's come?
Yeah, yeah.
All those accountabilities, access to this and this and this has been a problem.
But
now that the old people are also learning about this issue.
Indeed, indeed, indeed.
So now the fire that is raging.
Yeah.
Now, and the people, I've been listening to some radios and all these commentators.
Yeah.
They are saying the government must talk. You know, the experience I have on that fire.
Yeah.
During the war.
Yeah.
It used to wreak so much havoc.
Oh.
In Angola, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have got some mountains. And you have got people who have died. Because of that fire. If that fire now, let's say, the fire can cycle you. I don't know what, and I always see in other countries when that thing happens, people are using these helicopters and all kind of facilities.
Yeah,
they really have to mobilize resources in terms of manpower and all these other financial resources. In our own case, like you were saying, are we ready for this kind of emergency? Yeah, sometimes those things, they do come.
Yeah.
Even though if you have got an emergency department within the tribe minister's office,
yeah,
I'm not so sure whether they were able to contain that kind of a fire.
But how ready are we in terms of responding to any challenge which impact the citizens? Because remember, I give an example of COVID-19. I give an example of when Oshipahu came. I give an example of even cyber security. We still have to go and sit. We still have to go and sit before we really respond to the main issue. Because in other countries where there used to be these things of earthquake, natural disaster, they know how to move when, with who, what equipment, and where.
Yeah, maybe those ones they might have experienced it before, but in other situations like other emergencies, drought, flood, all these things, we do really respond.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not so sure whether it's effective enough,
yeah,
but are we able to condemn some of those situations that you are mentioning? So in this case now, whether we were ready, whether we were ready or not, but the mechanism has been is in place.
Yeah,
maybe just depend on the nature of the situation. So, but have they not responded enough? Perhaps for us to say yes, how ready are we?
No, the response is there, but you can't. But it's slow. 4 days is a lot of days, and Etosha to be burning for 4 days. It's a destruction of natural resources.
And then now, if it cuts people now in there, and then people are hooked and cornered and burned by the fire, that blame will come to whom?
No, because it's not a matter of laying a blame. It's just a matter of saying, what can we also do better moving forward, and what is the state of our risk management response? What is your view on South Africa and what's happening in DRC? What the military court have stated in DRC?
Yeah, you were mentioning about those issues of South Africa. What is happening in South Africa? So the DRC situation may be is an old one?
No, the DRC, they sentenced the former president to death.
Oh, so the one that I'm actually supporting those ones.
You're supporting
maybe not to condemn the person to death.
Yeah.
Because death penalty is allowed in those countries.
Mm-hmm.
But is that not too much harsh punishment?
No,
if it's not prohibited by the law.
And it's also a matter how political is the case? Is it a political case or is it a real case?
Now, whether it's a political case or whatever case it might be, does it really qualify the person to be sentenced to death? despite all the atrocity or the crime that the person has committed. So if that justifies, especially the former president, I remember at one point he ran to Rwanda there.
Yeah.
And then they were discussing, and remember Rwanda has been also the stumbling block to that peace. And if that is the case,
yeah.
And then the law should just take its course, notwithstanding the what is it, the death penalty and all that other thing. So, but the crime might justify that particular punishment, but to me, if it's not done based on the law, then if that law allows the death penalty, then perhaps that one we need also to somehow demonstrate against it.
Yeah.
So, but we are not saying condoning the what the former president has done.
Yeah.
Of course, but he can be punished. How old is he? So now you punish him to put him in the jail for, then he go and rot there and die there.
But
still fine not to kill him that in that manner. But what he did actually is very barbaric. Very, very barbaric.
Yes.
What is happening in South Africa?
There is a former an ambassador of South Africa to France died. He fell from 22nd floor in Paris. He jumped from 22nd floor.
He fell or he committed suicide?
is a question. It's also a question that they need answer, because they are saying he fell from the 22nd floor in a hotel, and they are still investigation is still continuing. We do not really know whether it's suicide or something had happened.
Maybe he was pushed by some.
It's something that we really do not know, but it's shocking to see, because ambassadors are supposed to be protected wherever they are. They're supposed to be protected, especially.
Some of them are very stubborn. So instead of going with a, instead of going with a bodyguard or whatever, then you might decide just to, even if they are seated there.
Yeah.
And they're somewhere there and you are maybe trying to go to the toilet and they are watching you. You might commit some kind of, some kind of, I don't know. So let's hear what has really caused his death.
Yeah.
And maybe we, from there we're able to digest that properly.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome, sir.
Right. Yes, we are coming to the end of Early Morning Scoop, and I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Unpacking team to unpack the day, to leave in the good hands of Michael Choveri to unpack the day. So thank you very much for tuning in. Continue listening to Eagle FM Namibia, and do not forget to follow us at all our social media platform, that is Facebook, X, Instagram, and LinkedIn. From me, David Shombe, bye bye for now.
Lipurane ngeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida Ashike kapeno mweko dite opo ue eku kurile Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola no Iho etike kovano hile koshuan Kono ngeshe faa ya pungwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka Okupitira oipindi konu kwa ndado inawa Minuto otukwetira o special angeza shake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka Opone ushe indife nawa nukumuna oijaweli nawa Ninge Pada Fanona, Monica, Ko, Eagle FM, Honora Satime, Bali Heavy, Nola Natu, Heavy Bali No Hea, Ineko, Berewa, Murahetatu Natu, Bali O Hetatu Batatu, Oma Lane, Eagle FM, the Eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of faith.